This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
This morning, you're just going to get a download. There's going to be a lot of information, and I hope you guys are excited to at least get caught up on where the church is at, where we're going, give you a very honest kind of perspective on what's going on. And so these moments for me are, I actually love, because I don't think a lot of churches stop in their normal rhythms to just actually spend some time with the congregation talking about where the church is at. And I think there's worship in how we function, how we operate as the church, and also bringing you guys up to speed on the things that are most important to us and where God is leading us. When we announced that we were transitioning to becoming Garden Church, we didn't just say that we wanted to build something new. What we want to do is build something true. And it really is important to us that we take an honest approach to church. Like, there's no fluff, there's no performance. Like, for us, this is really about helping you, us, engage the living God and to actually live out our faith. And we wanted to become the kind of people who actually live with God and for God. This morning, again, you're gonna hear a bunch of stuff. There's also this timer up here, and I'm going to invite you to heckle us if we go past this timer. So I have 8 minutes and 28 seconds right now. So if I get to the end of that, you can throw tomatoes, you can do whatever you want. But we are going to stay on time this morning because we have lots of people presenting some different pieces. So just to catch you up, as a reminder of who we are as Garden Church, I want to take some time and work through our mission statement, our vision statement, and just sort of give us a reminder of who we're becoming. So I'm going to have Mary put the first slide up. Our mission statement as a church is with God, for God. If you were here the last couple of weeks, we talked about the with God portion and the for God portion. Our vision statement is cultivating whole, flourishing lives with God and for God that renew our city and multiply His kingdom. This is our hope, is that we are a church that learns to live with God and learns to live for God, and in doing so, that we would cultivate whole, flourishing lives with the ultimate goal of bringing renewal to the city that we live in. We want to see change, life transformation in people's lives, amen? If that is not a goal for us, I don't know why we're here. We want to see your lives changed, and we want to see our city impacted. There's this verse that we've been teeing off on, Isaiah 58, verses 11 and 12. And I want to take some time to just run through this. I bolded some pieces of this verse, just as reminders as we're walking through it, of things that we should notice in this passage. He says this, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." If that is not a hope-filled passage, I don't know what is. Because this passage leans to this idea that God is in the business of renewal. He's in the business of making broken things beautiful again. And that goes for us as individuals, it goes for our families, and it goes for our city. But as I was reflecting on this passage this week, one of the things I realized is that Jesus is center to all these things. There's some foreshadowing going on in this text in the Old Testament that's pointing to something that Jesus would only fulfill. It is because of Jesus that we can be satisfied in the scorched places, in the parched moments, places of our lives. Some of you come here this morning weary and worn out. Jesus is the place to be renewed. That He will make our bones strong. That He will give us strength when we are weak. That you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Now, the last 2 months, I've been on this health kick trying to get my life in order. And it's been such a trip. And I keep telling people, I feel better now than I have in years. But my goal is to be the best physically fit and spiritually fit person by the time I'm 50. So I got 3 years to make this happen, right? That is my goal. Now, when I tell people, I feel better than I've ever felt before. Like that means like I've been doing something to actually feed my body and make some good decisions in my life because I care about my health. What I hope for our church is if you want to see these things, like if you want to be a watered garden, a spring of water, whose waters do not fail, you have to do something to invest in that life. You have to, or you will not reap the benefits of it. And so as we talked about a couple weeks ago with regards to being with God, like it is imperative that we are a people who care more about being with him than we do doing for him. The doing for him portion comes. But we need to be a people that care deeply about our own personal relationships with Jesus. I want to put up the next slide. We have a vision for renewal. Garden Church exists to live with God, for God, cultivating a people of deep roots, resilient faith, and radiant love in the heart of our city. We believe God's presence still changes everything, from the quiet places of the soul to the streets we walk every day. As Isaiah 58 declares, he's making us like a well-watered garden, satisfied in scorched places, made strong where we are weak, and shaped to rebuild what's been broken. We long to see generations raised up in Christ, foundations laid for those yet to come, and the beauty of the gospel restoring homes, neighborhoods, and hearts across Coeur d'Alene and beyond. Amen? I think we can rally around that. That is our hope for this church. To live with God means that we actually recover what was lost in Eden, right? We want to restore this idea that we were meant to live in this unhurried relationship with God, that we commune with him on a daily basis, and that there's an awareness that God actually walks with his people, that he's not absent from us, he's actually with us, that his presence is not an event we attend, that it's actually a way of life that we participate in. And so it means that we slow down. It means that we are a people who listen. It means that we are a people that walk with him, that choose presence over performance. And then to live for God means we join him in his redemptive work. He's in the business of doing this work. And so we, as a people, we push back darkness by loving our neighbors. We push back darkness by bringing renewal to the places where we live, where we work, where we create. And we live for the good of others and for the glory of Jesus. That is our mission statement as a people. And God is calling us to be a faithful presence in Coeur d'Alene, you guys, to not just talk about transformation, but to be a people that actually embody it, a people that are experiencing it on a regular basis, to be the kind of church that the city would actually notice if we were gone tomorrow. Like, if the city doesn't notice that we're gone, then what sort of impact are we actually having? And that vision shapes everything about who we are as a church. And we've said it this way through our values. And we've been teaching through these. Alec did a phenomenal job last week, starting off with presence over performance. Over the next coming weeks, what we'll talk about is what it means to be formed together. That we believe that God uses relationships to form us, helping us become more like Jesus as we practice his ways in everyday life. We're going to talk about truth and compassion, this tension in between those two, that as followers of Jesus, we don't err on one side or the other, that we embrace the way of Jesus, that we're uncompromising in the truth and we're unstoppable in love, that we're going to hold nothing back, that we are going to be a people that live life open-handed, that we represent this risk-taking obedience, that we will do anything that the Lord asks us to, that everything we have belongs to him and we live life with open hands. And then the last one, which is so important to me, is that we are a people that are marked by joy because we are not living in a joy-filled culture. We are living in a fearful, drained, tired, negative culture. We need to be a people that are marked by joy, that we're rooted in the resurrection life of Jesus, that we're formed by his spirit, that we rejoice in all seasons, that we live with hope, and we carry the light of redemption into a weary world. And so a couple pieces just about our vision, practical pieces coming forward. There are moments that we're going to invite you into to share in this vision. That Court of Christmas, which Sarah just talked about, as well as our trunk or treat. Those are ways for us to show up in our community, to actually love people, our neighbors, as ourselves. And then come next year, you guys are going to see some changes. We're looking at adding a second service on Sunday mornings here because our kids' ministry is so packed. And we just are in the process of potentially securing. I know. Last thing. We're in the process of securing a venue right now to start a Sunday night service. And so we want to do something that just presents a different option for people. And so you can hear more about that in months to come and look for that to begin in January. So I'm going to invite Alec up. Yeah.
Guys, good morning. Hey, 5 minutes, there it goes. I am talking about discipleship today. There's a lot that I could say in regards to discipleship, but I wanted to help us understand kind of our perspective moving forward. And I bet you've been to lots of different churches that define this in kind of various ways, but I just kind of want to define it for how we're approaching discipleship, which is actually by the fruit of discipleship, meaning that the result of discipleship is being made into the image of Christ. I don't know about you, but the following, the adhering to the teachings of Jesus is actually something that's incredibly difficult because it requires us to live selfless lives in service of others. It's not something that you can just kind of do at church. It's a lifestyle. It's something that we need to be trained in. And similarly, like doing anything, you have to practice at things to get better at them. You're not just going to magically get better at walking up to homeless people and helping them, you know, like it requires us to actually get out of our comfort zones to do the things that Jesus has called us to do, to serve the least of these. And so last time I spoke, I was talking about loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so our groups here at the church is actually going to be our focal point for discipleship. And really what I mean by that is that groups, community groups here at the church are just changing their perspective a little bit. They're not really changing in practice, but they are shifting in what the goal is for them, which is instead of just being a place that we can create community for people to go deeper, our community groups are actually going to exist to help disciple us into image bearers of Christ. And so what that looks like is challenging us to actually grow in our heart, our affections towards the Lord, growing in our soul, our daily practices, our rhythms, everything that makes us, our mind, our knowledge of the Bible to increase biblical literacy. No one's expected to be theologians, but we do need to understand the core tenets of things that we believe in. And then also strength, serving others, serving the church, serving every way you can. And so our groups are going to be a place to help disciple us into image bearers of Christ. And so really, groups as discipleship really just looks like groups will not solely exist to create community. Like community is important, but just by the nature of how they exist, community will be fostered. But our community groups aren't just for coming together just to talk. They're also going to be the place that we're challenged to grow. And so my last little bit here, I just kind of wanted to turn and say, another huge thing for groups is that we want to be a church that doesn't just wait for the church to put on programs to do ministry. Like, we want to be a church that's marked by the people of God being the people of God, which, I don't know if you know this, you have the freedom to serve every single day of your life. You don't need to wait for the church to put on an event for you to sign up for it, to go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Our hope is that we would be growing together as a people. Like I said before, like when we choose to follow Jesus, we don't necessarily just have this choice on whether or not we're going to sit on our hands or not. Following Jesus is a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time decision that you said yes, and now you're just moving in a direction. We have to be serving the people of God. And so I'm going to put that on you guys. Really, if you ever feel like, man, I want to get more connected, I want to know what I can do, groups is a great place to start, to get connected. But then through the strength of our groups coming together and people coming together, we're going to pool what we have to serve the city that we live in. Amen? Amen. The last one is men's and women's ministries. If you are looking to just go further and get connected, we already have things kind of up and running that are amazing opportunities for you, which is each men's and women's ministries will have like all group gathering things. It's what Sarah talked about earlier for women's ministry, places where women, you can come together as the women of this church and find fellowship and community and go deeper into the word. But then men, we also will be doing, we used to call it Forge. I think there's the desire to change the name, but who knows? Just be watching for that. Like there will be a once a month time for all the men that we can come together, usually before work, have some coffee, have some breakfast, go deeper. But then beyond that, we have men's Friday coffee groups that meet all the time. And it's our heart that those types of things can just grow naturally, that we don't need to plan those ourselves, that if people have it on their heart to start up men's coffee groups or women's connect style groups, please just meet with us. We want people that have a heart to serve the community, serve our church. So come and talk to me. We can get you engaged and plugged in men's and women's ministry. And that's it. Yeah. Who's next? All right. Give it up for Heather.
Hello, hello. Okay, I'm talking about kids, and so I'm going to level with you guys. This morning was slightly chaotic, and I was reading what some of our volunteers have said about serving in kids' ministry, and one of them said, like family, sometimes chaotic, but always joyful. It is so accurate. Our kids' ministry is averaging about 100 to 125 kids a week, which is absolutely amazing, especially considering that per capita across the nation, most churches, their children's attendance, their ratios are about 15% of the adults. So whatever is in this room, about 15% would be in kiddos. For us at Garden, that average is 25% and a lot higher on some weeks. So we have the incredible privilege of discipling and investing in so many kids. It also means we have a lot less adults than most churches to volunteer in the kids, and I think we feel that sometimes. So since my last announcement a couple weeks ago, I've had several people volunteer, and I'm so, so grateful for each of you that stepped up. We've had a lot of youth and young adults step in, and that, to me, is really the biggest answer to prayer, because our goal with our kids is absolutely connection over content. We want them connect with people that love them and love Jesus and build relationships and have people to look up to, because we believe that in that connection, then we are able to talk to them and disciple them with Jesus. And so our goal is to move our ratio of volunteers to kids up, and I think we're working that way. So I'm looking at like 4 to 5 more volunteers a week, which means that's a minimum, an extra body in every room, which means smaller groups of kids connecting with adults or teenagers, and we're moving in that direction. And so I just want to thank you guys. I want to thank you all that volunteer. I want to thank you guys that have kiddos in our kids ministry, because I realize you're trusting us every week to keep them safe, to play with them, and to give them a right picture of who Jesus is. And we don't take that lightly. Being able to be a part of those formative years in kiddos' lives and help them understand the love of Jesus is something that is such a beautiful gift. And we really do take that seriously, and we appreciate that so, so much. So I think really what I just wanted to share with you guys were the wins and where we're at, and that we do have a lot of people volunteering. And also to reiterate, if this is not something you're called to, I honor that 100%. We don't ever want people to be in positions they don't feel called to, but I would ask you to pray for us, to pray for our volunteers, to pray for kiddos, to like ask the Lord to put that on your heart throughout the week, because that goes a long ways to softening hearts, encouraging and empowering teachers, because they have weeks too, and they're walking into rooms because they committed to connect with our kids. And so your prayers and your encouragement go such a long way, and we're so grateful for all of you. And I'm really grateful for the teens that have stepped up. I just want to say that, like, you guys give them something to look up to in a way that us boring adults can't do, and it matters in such big ways. So thank you guys so much.
She was so fast. I think I hid my notes. I found them. We got them. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Hannah, and I work with the student ministry. So that is people who are like 11 to 18, I think. So we have all the fun, basically. I wanted to share with you guys a little testimonial from one of our students. She is now in high school. Her name is Elise. She's in the middle picture, and she might be sitting back there. Hey. So her name is Elise, and she started coming to youth group in June 2023, going into eighth grade. And when I met her, it was actually a whole car of them, like, tumbled out and showed up at the park, and they were just so much fun. But I noticed she was kind of quiet. Like, she'd play real hard with her brother and the guys and, like, have a great time, and she's very kind. But she definitely was, like, in her shell trying to decide, who am I and am I wanted here? And it was really easy to see, right? And a lot of us go through that. And I've just seen her change so much over the last 2 years, really come out of her shell and express herself and just serve others as well. Right now she is, she's in our discipleship class. That is for students. She's on the youth worship team. And which is a little scary, right? That's hard to do. And she helps out at youth group. And I asked Elise if she would share with us what her experience has been like, and I'm going to read it. So this is what she said. She said, "What brought me back to youth group is how friendly the people were there and how much I felt God's presence when I was with the people from youth group. Because it's a smaller group, I really felt close personal connections with everyone." She said, "Youth group has changed my whole relationship with God. At the beginning, I didn't have one. Through the believers around me, I realized how beautiful the love of God is. Through youth group, I've had the opportunity to grow into who I am and to be a better and realer me." And I thought that was beautiful. Thanks for sharing, Elise. Yeah, it's so cool. I asked her what she would say to someone who is on the fence about coming to youth group, and she had said, "It truly is the best thing ever. Youth group has given me the biggest opportunities to share Christ and to build the best relationships in my life." And I thought that was so awesome. That is truly our hope for youth group, for the kids that come, that they would find belonging with the people of God and living for God. And our vision for Garden students specifically, it's up there. Helping students gain biblical literacy, experience Christian community, and establish spiritual disciplines. So our hope for every student that shows up is that over time, right, as they're growing, we would see that in each of them, that they not only know what they believe, they know who they are, they're living with God, with others, and experiencing that. So if you are a 6th to 12th grader and I haven't met you, you are officially invited to youth group this Wednesday. It's from 6 to 8. It's at the Perkins' house, and the address is on our website because I couldn't remember it, and I knew you wouldn't either. So go on our website, find the address. We would really love to meet you. And if you are looking to be involved, we would love to have you. I am looking for some small group leaders. These are adults that show up once a week, and they just help support these kids. They answer their questions a little bit, and they support them as they're going through all the crazy things that teenagers go through every day. So I would invite you to come and find me or come and find Kirk. He's over there. If you're at all interested in helping support these kids. Okay, that's it. We're doing so good. This is Hannah.
Hello. Good morning. I am also Hannah. I'm the other Hannah. And I get to talk to you guys about volunteering, so buckle up. When I think about why we serve as believers in Jesus, I always come back to the fact that this was his idea, his design, his church is his bride, and we have to serve her faithfully and serve her well. 1 Peter 4 says that we have to use whatever gifts that we've been given as faithful stewards of God's grace. And I love that because it shows us that stewardship isn't just monetary, stewardship is every area of our lives. Should we be faithful and steward our finances? Absolutely. Should we be stewarding our time and the way we serve our friends, our family, our church body? Absolutely. And like Alec was preaching on last week in Luke 10 with Mary and Martha, Jesus doesn't rebuke serving whatsoever, but it's why we're serving. So if we're not serving the local church or our families or our spouses or our kids out of overflow of being truly in love with Jesus, then we've got it wrong. We have to be with him and be in his presence first. That is the whole point. One of my favorite pastors actually says that, oh goodness, I don't have a lot of time, that Jesus doesn't ask for much, just everything. And it's true. If he's the Lord of our life, we have to be fully surrendered in every aspect of our life. Amen. So like Chris said, we are launching multiple services and a night gathering. So you might be very confused. Why do we need to do that? And the answer is yes, for many reasons. One, we want to make room for more people to experience the transformation power of Jesus in their families. Two, practically, we just won't all fit in our new building. It just won't work. So that's an easy one. And lastly, our teams that are already serving, like Heather was talking about, if you're on the kids team right now and you serve maybe twice a month and you're out of town or sick for another one, you might be in service together once a month. And that we just don't want that to be what we sustain. We want people to be able to sit in one service and serve in one as well. And if you're thinking that sounds terrible, a lot of churches do a lot of services. This isn't a new thing, and it is manageable. One of my favorite quotes is that everything is figure-outable. We can figure it out. We really can. And a really huge part of that is that this setup and tear down won't always be our reality, which is literally praise Jesus, right? Amen. And I also just want to honor you guys. Alec and I have been a part of a lot of churches, a lot of teams, and there's something so unique and so beautiful about this body of believers. You guys register in Church Center to serve. You show up, and you're so faithful, and I've never seen a body like this really rally and do the things we need to do and go above and beyond. It's seriously, it's special. It really is special. And it shows. We have had 193 people serve regularly in our serve teams, which is honestly a lot for this amount of people. And we have 40 plus more who are being onboarded, and I would probably say that's actually around 50. We've got a lot of people, and it's amazing. But if we are moving to multiple services, we do need more help. We need more hands. We can't get around that. And I can't emphasize just that it's a joy to serve alongside other believers. I think most of my really deep friendships I have in my life have been from serving alongside other people. I think of our community group, and now that we get to serve together, there's such a beauty to it in putting our hands to good work for the body together. It's so special. Yeah, I think we're really sitting on untapped potential. It's going to be such a new, incredible, crazy season. Launching three services from one is going to be wild, but it's going to be so much fun. And I think if we take our eyes off of, oh, that sounds hard, that's a burden, it's not. We're believing God for more people to experience his transformation and change their lives. So we're so excited that we get to have multiple services. It's going to be amazing. And if you are interested in our night service meeting, we're having an interest meeting on November 2nd. There are QR codes to sign up. And if there's something that is not on the serve form that you're like, this should be on there, come let us know. Ask any of us questions. We're really excited about this new season. And this is what we get to do. We have to look different. We have to act different. As believers in Jesus, we get to serve him and serve his body well. Thank you. I'm done.
Good job, Hannah. All right, everybody. My name is Tavis, for those of you that don't know me, and I am honored to serve on the elder team. You know, I had my notes ready, and I went to print them this morning, and we're out of ink. So then I hand wrote them, and I can't read my own writing. So I just turned 50, but I'm going to try and be like these young kids and use my phone for the notes. So a few things I wanted to share. The first one is we've had elder in training candidates for about the past 9 months. Kevin Penner and Jordan Zingerman. So I'm sure you know them, and it's been incredible. We've been going through a book together called Gospel Eldership, and that has been, it's been tremendous. It's challenged us, iron sharpened iron. I know for me, it's caused me to go deep in some areas that I hadn't before, and it's been a tremendous part of that process. And so those two guys, we'll bring them up here next week before you, and then you'll have 2 weeks, if there's any concerns or anything like that, to reach out. I would leverage them over the next 2 weeks. Mow your yard, rake leaves, whatever. I mean, I had to snowblow Chris's driveway for 2 winters when I was the new guy. So I would, it works. So we're feeling as elders that we feel like we're in a season of gratitude and just some things that we have either experienced or witnessed or heard about that's happening in the congregation. And so I'm just going to go through, certainly not an exhaustive list, but I think first and foremost is God's faithfulness through the challenges we have faced as a congregation, and his faithfulness that he's going to be there as we move forward. He's provided tangibly. We have a building that we own, right? We have a building that we're going to meet in a matter of, where's Chris? Months, right? Months? Maybe a year, whatever it is. But we have a building that we're going to meet in. That's tangible. That's incredible. More importantly, he's been shaping the hearts of the congregation to grow deeper and stay focused on Christ, which is what it's all about. We're seeing deepening friendships and conversations among elders, among staff, among the congregation. We're seeing a genuine unity and shared purpose emerging across the church. How about people showing up for one another? Early coffee meetings, prayer meetings, community groups, service projects. I know for Jonna and I, it's been a rough year, and with some family stuff with our daughter, and this congregation has poured out for us, and we're so, so grateful for that. Growth and enthusiasm in our kids program. I mean, the kids ministry is booming, as you've just heard about. It's incredible. And even with that, there have been challenges. We've had some that have left to start new fellowships, but we don't see that as a negative. We see that as God's kingdom expanding. The one thing that has been so consistent since I started as an elder, I mean, it's been the entire time, but that has resonated with me, we believe deeply that it's not about Sunday numbers. It's about life transformation through God's word and in this community, and as we spread our community here into the community that we're surrounded by. It's been a season of refining, renewal, deep gratitude, and we are excited for what's to come, the relaunch of Garden Church. And so we know God has been faithful. We know he's going to continue to be faithful. We are honored and blessed to be able to serve as elders for this congregation. Please know that we're always here, so if there's ever anything, any questions you have, you can reach out to us. But we're looking forward to the exciting season to come. And before I bring up Dan, I just need to point out, Chris, this is not like Congress where you get to reclaim unused time, okay? So you have to stick to your time when you get back up here. Because I see you, like, he has a calculator out and he's starting to add up minutes. With that, bring up the head of our steward team, Dan Daly.
Thanks, Tavis. You know, Tavis and I have something in common. We share the same barber, right? Yeah, looking good. My name is Dan. I am a steward. I've been a steward for a few years now, and I'm acting as treasurer. There are a few other stewards on the team. I don't know if we're going to introduce them or not. Oh, here we are. Sarah and Shane. I think I saw Shane over here. Wave your hand. Jan, I think, was in the corner over there. And Flynn is in the back wrangling kids, I believe. So.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I work in the office doing finance, HR, facility, kind of the stuff no one else wants to do. But I am really nervous. I'm sorry. Dan and I don't get up here a lot, and so this is really scary. But I see you guys every week, so it's like, it's all good. So, yeah, we are going to be talking about finances and numbers, and I just want to start by saying that it's actually really cool and fun. And like Chris said, it's how we can be transparent with you guys and tell you what's going on. And so, first of all, I just wanted to start by saying thank you for giving to this mission. The staff and stewards, we do not take it lightly what the Lord has put on your heart, the convictions to give to this church. And like, you know, hearing the testimony from the youth group, like Mary and Camille, the stories that have been told, when you're giving to the church, those are the things we're funding. It's not just about like utilities and grape juice for communion, but it's the staff and it's the ministries. And so again, I just want to say thank you so much. And as a staff member, it really is the most humbling thing knowing that you guys are the ones who are paying our paychecks. Every hour we're clocked in, every swipe of the credit card, it's coming from you guys. And so again, I just cannot express the gratitude. And for the stewards and the staff and elders, we seriously do not take it lightly, the responsibilities you have entrusted us with. Yeah, so just on behalf of the staff, I just want to say thank you so much. And just to shout out the stewards team, Dan is the treasurer. He actually meets with me every week to go over our finances. And so just a big thank you to the stewards. They are volunteering their time, and thank you to their spouses that let them do that. And so, yeah, I'm going to pass it off to you, Dan, to share some numbers.
All right. Who's excited about numbers? Let's think about this as blessings, right? We always use dollar signs, but I mean, we can look at this as blessings. What we're gonna look at here is where we're at currently in for this calendar year, starting at the beginning up to current, so year-to-date numbers. We have revenue donations for this year, currently is at $540,958. Our expenses year to date is $598,763. So we're actually looking at comparing this to where we were at this time last year, where our revenue was $492,352 and expenses were a fair amount more at $623,485 at this time. A couple things to note, we are actually running from a budget and operating standpoint on a fiscal year, so that starts in July and goes through June. For clarity, or for simplicity, I should say, we're just looking at these year-to-date on a calendar scale. Some of the big wins, I would say, of this year are, as you can see up here, we were able to bless two different local churches for starting their operations and planting here in the area. So we gave to them for a total of $30,000, and that came out of a specific reserve fund. Yeah. And then just to finish this slide off, our average monthly donors for this year are at 90. Average monthly recurring donors are 44, comparing that to last year at 81 for average monthly and 36 for reoccurring donors. Did you have? Mary, do you want to throw the other slide up? Yep. Okay, so another, I think Tavis may have mentioned this, but so we did have a building on Wallace, and through a series of events, we were able to sell that. And so here are the numbers for that. We purchased it a few years ago at $2.5 million. We had a mortgage on that, and we were paying it down. We ended up, there was a 4th Street building that came available, and so we actually were able to buy that and put a deposit on it and hold it while we were trying to sell the Wallace building. So we finally did sell the Wallace building. That closed last month in September. So there's the numbers there. We sold it for $2.94 million. We net profited $386,000. With the sale of this Wallace building, we were able to buy the 4th Street building outright. So there's no mortgage. We own the 4th Street building. So that's a huge win, right? Just a couple things from a steward standpoint. We do take finances very seriously, and we thank you and are, you know, overwhelmed by your generosity. We try and steward the finances as best we can, but we do need, you know, some help. So at the end of this year, after kind of the dust has settled with the real estate transactions, we will be doing more of an official audit from an outside CPA firm.
Yeah, so I just want to say again, it's so exciting to see like reoccurring and monthly givers up over last year. And I just want to put the ask out there to just pray if you aren't giving or haven't or not giving consistently. The participation in the body is really important. And we say this is a church family. And so that means all of us taking ownership and responsibility. And like Chris always talks about, we do want to be a church that reverses the 80-20 rule. And we hope to see that everyone is just bought in every area of our lives. And we do recognize that that means people will give at different amounts. And we recognize there is no gift too little. It is really a step of faith every time we give in trusting in the Lord. But we know He's faithful to provide. And I think it's such a beautiful expression and acknowledgement that everything we have comes from the Lord. And so I just want to put the ask out there that we are in need of more staff. As you can see, we have about 300 adults in here and we have two pastors. And so we desperately need some more pastoral staff, and we are committed to keeping our staffing at about 50% of our overall budget, and so to bring on some more pastors, that would mean an increase in our overall annual budget, and so I just want to put that out there when you're praying about everything, just think about Chris and Alec, our two pastors. So lastly, Chris is about to share about some of the new building stuff, and I just want to express the importance that we can't see regular giving decrease in response to the building donations. We have regular operations and staffing and things we have to keep supporting. So I just wanted to like put that out there that we still need regular gifts to keep going. So, okay, thank you. Okay.
I just wanted to make one final point here. I'll make myself available after this service. Obviously, this is a very top-down, 10,000-foot approach view of our finances, but I'm happy to share that with you. There is transparency in that. So come grab me or Sarah, any other stewards. Happy to share that information with you.
Thank you, guys. Hey, will you guys just give it up for our staff and everybody who just gave presentations? I know that for some people, they're like, this is boring. Like, why are you doing all this stuff? Well, it really does matter to us that we were just forthright with you guys, and you guys know exactly where we're at and what's going on. Some of you are new here, and maybe this gives you a bigger picture view of who our church is and how we function and what's important to us, and we just want to maintain a sense of family here, that we are in this together. As I transition into this last portion, I want you to know that I've literally stressed over this because I hate asking for money. But you know, the way that God has provided up to this point with this building for us has been none less than a miracle. And I was sitting with we have a building team, and I don't know who of them are here to you. Will you raise your hand if you're here so I can identify you? Chris Sears, Levi McPhee, I don't know if George Summick is here, or Randy Harden, and Jay Barron. These are all guys that have experience in development and can help us make some wise decisions as we move forward with this building project. We've never done anything like this before, and so it's a huge task to take on. But for me, like again, I hate asking for money. And I was sitting with them the other day, and we were talking, and I started sharing a couple stories of people who just so far through the process of working on this building have encountered Jesus. And they are people, contractors. And it has been really amazing and a reminder for me that as we move forward with this project, that if we lose focus of the people and what this is actually about, it's really easy for buildings to just take over as the primary importance in a church, and we do not want that to happen. Because every person that has a touch point in the process of this building, it really is our prayer that they would meet Jesus, that they would encounter him in a really real way. And so that's been neat to see so far. But this building, as you guys know, 610 North 4th Street is very visible. It's on the corner of Garden and 4th. It was built in 1921. This building, it was a basement that they built first, and then the church raised money to build the rest of what you see by 1932. The actual dedication date of that building was October 26th, of 1946, or 45,
which means we are approaching the 80-year anniversary of the initial dedication of the building just in a couple weeks, which is pretty awesome. But a couple weeks ago, our staff went down and spent an hour with the director of the North Idaho Museum, and she gave us kind of a quick overview of the development of Coeur d'Alene up through the 80s. And it was fascinating for us to hear about how this community came to existence. But then we've also pulled a lot of information on the church landscape in Coeur d'Alene over the last 100 years as well, which has been fascinating. But that building has been a prominent sort of piece of the church landscape in Coeur d'Alene for 100 years. And it's falling apart, it needs a ton of work, and it really, it almost sold to a developer before we were able to get it, which would have meant that it probably would have been torn down. And we just felt so grateful that the Lord preserved it for us and allowed us to purchase this building and to maintain just not only a building that we can use, but a piece of history in Coeur d'Alene. It's pretty cool too, something that many people will see as they're driving down 4th Street. I'm gonna go to the next slide, which is just kind of a purpose statement for this project. We're calling it the Garden Project. It's our shared act of faith, a 2-year journey to raise $3.5 million to rebuild and renew a historic home in the heart of our city where people encounter God's presence, are formed by his word, and are sent like a well-watered garden to bring his renewal to every generation. I'm about to show you some renderings of the building. What I want to kind of preface in this is we do own the building outright. Now we're gonna raise money to renovate the building, but we've already had about $1 million come in 6 weeks that we did not ask for. And that has been, the way this has happened, it has been like week after week, I'll come into the staff and be like, somebody wanted to go get coffee with me, and then they said they were giving us $50,000 or giving us $250,000 or $500,000. It was like, oh my gosh, this is insane. And we're really praying that we can rally to pay for this building and not have any debt. That really is our hope. But just so you know, that $3.5 million sounds like sticker shock. It is. It's a lot of money. It's very expensive, apparently, to do any renovations right now on anything in this town. But what our building committee is committed to is value engineering this thing down to the bones as far as we can. So what I'm showing you is the highest dollar figure that this could potentially be, but we know there's a lot of cost savings in here, and we are gonna work hard to bring this down. You're gonna get monthly updates from our building team on Sunday mornings just to keep you guys apprised of where we're at in the fundraising process and the development process. I have no idea at this point when we will start construction. I'm hoping early next year. It's probably like a 6 to 8 month window to get it done. And so by God's grace, 2026, baby. we'll be in there, but we'll see. I wanna show you guys some slides of the building. Some of you saw the initial, don't show them yet. Some of you saw the initial slides, but something's changed, and I'm just blown away with how this thing has been developed. So go to slide one. I'll kind of walk you through these initial renderings. That's the corner view from 4th and Garden. As you can see, they're trying to like make as much room as possible, preserving this old building while also giving it somewhat of a facelift. So that's the corner shot. What's the next one? The next one, I think, is from the side. You can see how they're like bringing in all this light. Like our hope was not to create a dark, dreary church building inside, but like to bring in a ton of light and make this a place that just, there's stained glass windows, the old ones on the other side. And we just want light to come in. We want it to be a place that's bright, and we want it to be a space that is used for our community and our church. And so next view, there's a courtyard that they're developing on the backside in between our building and the house next door, like a place. We wanted lots of space for people to congregate in between services. We basically wanted to inverse, like take the foyer out of the building because the building's so small and figure out ways that people can gather outside and for the community to actually see the life of the church on the streets. And so both the front and the backside have these kind of courtyards and areas to hang out in. Go to the next one. There's the entrance. It's all being kind of reconfigured from where it's at now. You go to the left there and down the the stairs, and it takes you into the whole kids wing, and so the basement is being completely remodeled and turned into like 8 different classrooms to house 100-ish kids on a weekly basis per service. So next slide. That's looking out back towards 4th Street from the top of the stairs. Next slide. This is part of the foyer. Looking out towards 4th Street, you can see the fire department building in the back. Go to the next one. And this is the other side of the foyer, kind of like a bar where we'll serve coffee. You can see the sanctuary to the left and then 4th Street there to your right. This room will also, the doors will be able to open up and it'll double up as like an overflow space in case services get packed. We can have people sitting out in the lobby area. Go to the next slide. Here's the auditorium area. It's really bright and we wanted it to feel like a garden. Like we want it to be a place that feels like it's life-giving. So, and then the next slide. And that's looking at the back of the auditorium. So there's a second deck mezzanine to house about another 70 people up top there. And I think that's it. Is that right, Mary? Okay. So that's the building. And we are, yeah, it's the guys, the people that have been working on it have just done a really good job, and we're really excited where it's at. I just want to use the last of my time to just let you guys know, like, this building for us, and we've talked about this before, we're not looking at creating a monument. We want this building to be a greenhouse for the gospel. It really is important to us that we figure out ways to leverage this building to equip people with the word of God, to equip them to be sent out into our community. A couple of our staff talked about reversing the 80-20 rule. I posed this question a few weeks ago. If this really isn't about engaging God and actually living for him, then why do we meet here on Sunday mornings? And I want you, as you attend this church, are part of this family, to sense a little bit of that pressure, that you are not here to just observe. You're here to participate. We all are the body of Christ. And so I pray that this is a place that people have an urge to like get involved, to actually take ownership of this place that God has planted them, to actually be a committed part, to not just watching what happens, but to being a people who want to live as sent individuals in their life, to be a faithful presence in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And so many of you are, and it just blesses us to reiterate what Hannah said. I love this church. I love the way you guys show up. I love the fact that church isn't just restrained to what we do on Sunday morning, but it's something that goes with you into every nook and cranny and every facet of your life when you leave here. And I pray that we continue to equip and raise up people who see church like that. Now, when it comes to giving to this project, it is my heart, I think our heart, that all of you contribute. And I'm not concerned with how much you give. What I would ask of you is, would you prayerfully consider what you could give? We have this pledge form that we're gonna put up, and there's a QR code. I'm gonna ask all of you, you all have phones on you, scan that thing right now. Pull out your phones, and I want you all to scan it. And I don't care if you're gonna pledge $5 a month over the next 2 years, or if you're gonna pledge a one-time gift. It doesn't matter. What I want to know is that we all have been people that have contributed to this project, because I hope that when Coeur d'Alene experiences this church in that building, that they would know that it was a result of hundreds of people that felt a burden in their lives to contribute to this project, and it wasn't just a couple shouldering it, and it wasn't a church going into massive debt in order to try to make this happen. And so I would just ask you to take this before the Lord. And to reiterate what Sarah said, what's hard for us sometimes is we realize, like, all of us have a limited amount of cash, right? Most of us, right? Like, anybody here? Okay. But what we are all trying to decide is like what gets what, and I 100% understand that. I want you to know that it has been Heather and I's burden from the day we started this church that we give to this church ourselves, and sometimes that seems weird. You know, it's like I actually give out of my salary to pay back my salary. But I would never ask you to do anything that I myself am not willing to do. And when it comes to this building project, Heather and I will show up and we will give what we can to it. Our staff, our elders, our stewards will give what they can to it, because for us, it's about participation. It's about taking ownership in this and this being a collaborative effort to build something that I think is not just about this church, but about the decades to come. I mean, that church that built that building in 1921 had no idea we would step into that building 100 years later. And part of our reason in even calling this Garden Church was this realization that the name is timeless. It's on Garden Avenue in the Garden District, and for generations to come, it can easily be the Garden Church. Like, it makes sense. But we want to see generations impacted through the work of this church. We care deeply about the next generation. I hope you guys understand that. Part of the reason in even starting this Sunday night service is, like, we realize it will gather young people, and we want to be a church that will do whatever we can. We'll bet the farm on the next generation because we care. And God is doing something to stir up the next generation right now. And I pray that as we give to this project, as we serve this church, that we're not just thinking about what we get out of it, but we're thinking about what our kids' generation gets out of it, what our grandkids' generation gets out of it, and how the city of Coeur d'Alene will continually be blessed for decades to come as a result of our obedience and our faithfulness. So that's what I have for you. Did you scan that QR code? Great. Okay, I'm going to ask Alec to come up, and this is how we're going to kind of end our time these last few minutes. I didn't want to just end in some, like, vibrant, hurrah, worshipful thing and just like, yes, you know, praise the Lord, we're all leave, give to the building, what I wanted to do. Instead is really make you think about it. So Alec is going to play a song. And I really thought through this time that I didn't want it to be a moment where you were going to do something in worship, but you were just going to sit. And I want you to sit, and I want you to take all that you've heard this morning before the Lord, and I want you to ask one question. How is God calling you to participate in what it is he's doing? Some of you already are, and that's amazing. Some of you aren't, and may this be the next step. So let's spend some time thinking, praying, and contemplating what it is the Lord would have us do as the next step. So just take 2 minutes. I want you to think through, how would God ask you to contribute in this next season? And then I'll come forward and I'll close this out in a word of prayer.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at AnthemCDA. We can't wait to see you next week.